The beginning of this week's Seder of Parshas Matos. So we learn about the Parsha of Nedarim and Shavuos, about the Parsha of making oaths. And if we read the beginning of the Seder, so it tells us about the husband and the father who can annul the Nedarim, these promises, these oaths of a daughter and a wife. And these halachas are still relevant, although not so common to us possibly. But we're all familiar with the Hataras Nedarim that we do on Erev Rosh Hashanah or Erev Yom Kippur. And the idea is that if we have charata, if we regret the Nedarim, the Shavuos, we have the whole list of various types of promises and oaths that we can regret. We do Hataras Nedarim for, and we present it before the three Dayanim, then they say Mutlach, 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 so they do Hataras Nedarim for us, they undo these Nedarim that we have made. So that's one way of annulling a Neder, that's Hataras Nedarim. The Mishnah in Nedarim, as is brought down in the Shulchan Aruch in Yerideh, Reish Lama Beis Sivav, speaks about another way of annulling or retracting a neder that has been made. So if the neder is a neder called nidrei shagogas, that means the neder was made on a false premise. The whole neder was made in error. So for instance, if somebody says, so Reuven should be a konam Reuven olai, so-and-so should be osa v'hanot to be, he makes a neder, he doesn't want to have any benefit from Reuven, because I know that he stole something from me. And then he finds out that Reuven didn't steal that object from him. So that's called a neder shogeg, and the whole neder is automatically void. Because it was made in error, he doesn't even need to have Hataras Nedarim for such a thing, because the whole thing was by mistake. So with Hataras Nedarim, we later regret it, but here the whole thing was made initially with a mistaken premise, and therefore the neder isn't a valid neder. Or another example, the Shulchan Aruch says, if you have food, let's say you have cake on a table in the corner of a room, and you see people eating it, and you quickly shout out, that food is asa, so you make a neder, they can't benefit from the food. And then you approach and you realize it was your family who was eating it. And if you would have known it was your family, then you'd never have made the neder. So that's called the neder, showing the whole neder was made in error, I'm sorry. And therefore, the neder is not a neder. You don't even need to have Hataras Nedarim for such a neder. Sorry? If it's your food, you can. If it's your object, you can. Yeah. So these Nedarim are something that's not necessarily everyday occurrences, but I'd like to apply this concept to halachas that we find with regards to Hilchos Shabbos. Now, with Hilchos Shabbos, there is a halach of Tosefes Shabbos, starting Shabbos early. This is based on the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tes. The Gemara learns from Yom Kippur. The Gemara, the Pasuk speaks about Yom Kippur. It says, Me Erev Ad Erev. It says, B'tisha L'chodesh. So we start Yom Kippur on the 9th of Tishri. And the Gemara learns that we add to Yom Kippur at the beginning. The Gemara says, Melamech Shemesifim Mechol Ala Chodesh. We have to add at the beginning of a special day, like Yom Kippur, to the beginning. Eini elo p'knisasa, at the beginning, b'tziyasa, the Gemara says, we learn out that we add it at the beginning and at the end. The Gemara says, Eini elo yom ha-kippurim, the Pasuk speaking about yom ha-kippurim, shabbosos minayin, it says, tishbusu, yom tovim, shabbatchem. So, ha-kei tzad, kol makom shesh b'shvus, whenever we have a day with Issa Melacha, Shavuos, a special day, Shabbos, a Yontzav, Yom Kippur, Mosifin, Mechol, Al HaKodesh, we have a mitzvah to start the day early and to finish late. And this is how we paskin, or they ask, the Rambam doesn't bring this down apparently for Shabbos, but if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, Reish Samach Gimel, Reish Samach Aleph as well, it speaks about Mosifin, Mechol, Al HaKodesh, a mitzvah to start Shabbos early. So in the summer, this is something which is easier to do, and you know, if you daven at Plag HaMincha, so you're starting Shabbos earlier. And even in the winter, when Shabbos starts early, in Manchester with the Hadlakos there, it's on the Luach about 13 minutes or so before Shkia. So we try to start Shabbos earlier so that we can be Mosifin Mechol Ala Kodesh. Now the Taz in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Simon Tov Reish. So Taz speaks about the following scenario, seemingly an incident that happened. He was speaking about Rosh Hashanah, which fell on Thursday, Friday, and then going into Shabbos. And on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, he says the shofar was stolen, a particular community, the shofar was stolen by bandits, and they didn't have a shofar to blow. So they davened without blowing the shofar. And they sent a messenger, shliach, to a neighboring shul to try and get their shofar, and they were hoping that the shliach would be able to come back before Shabbos so that they could blow the shofar before Shabbos. So they sent their messenger and they didn't hear from him, and Shabbos was approaching and it was too late, so they started to daven Kabbalah Shabbos before Shkia, before sunset. So they started Kabbalah Shabbos. And at that point, the shliach arrives. He comes back, brandishing a shofar. He's got the shofar for them. And they say, it's too late, because we've already started Kabbalah Shabbos. And we know that you can't blow the shofar on Shabbos. Even when Rosh Hashanah falls on Shabbos, we don't blow the shofar on Shabbos. So definitely, if you've started, if really you should have blown the shofar earlier and you didn't, and they started Shabbos already, so this is too late, we can't blow the shofar. So the Taz says that in that situation, since if they would have known that the shofar was coming, they would never have started Shabbos early. So they started Shabbos early in error. And in the same way that we've seen, if you make a neder, if you make a vow in error, based on a mistaken idea, the vow is not valid, it doesn't work. So too, if you bring in Shabbos early, but it was because you weren't aware that somebody was going to bring you a shofar to blow the shofar, so he says the Kabbalah Shabbos is void, it's bottle, and they can blow the shofar, and it's not Shabbos for them anymore. In fact, he says more than that. He says even if they would have known the shofar was coming, and they still started Shabbos early, he says you can't do that. You can't start, in the same way you can't make a shvua, you can't make an oath and not to do a mitzvah, you can't bring Shabbos in early if it all means you can't perform the mitzvah of shofar. So even if they would know it was coming, they wouldn't be able to start Shabbos early. And definitely where they didn't know the shofar was arriving, so that's called a toos, a valid mistake, and therefore their Kabbalah Shabbos is, they have to sing the Chazaydi again, if they do on Rosh Hashanah coming into Shabbos. And they have to do Kabbalah Shabbos again. The whole thing was bottle because it was done in error, like we saw with the Neder, which was made, B'Shogeg, which was made in error. Right, so the Taz sends us to Shulchan Aruch and Reish Samach Gimel. And we'll see, it's not just for a mitzvah, it's also for making an error in the time of day. So the Shulchan Aruch Reish Samach Gimel speaks about a cloudy day where they don't know what time Shabbos is coming in. So nowadays, you know, this halacha is not so relevant because we have clocks. But in the times where they didn't have clocks, and the whole timekeeping was based on the sun. So if the sun vanished, so they weren't sure, has Shabbos started or has Shabbos not started? So the Shulchan Aruch Reish Samach Gimel Sif Yud Dalet says, in B'yom HaMu'unan, Tov, if it was a cloudy day, the sun went behind, the sun was low, it went behind the clouds, and V'choshu Shechashecha, they thought that Shabbos had started, and they lit the Shabbos candles, v'spalalut filas arvis, shal Shabbos, and they davened Mariv. V'achakach, and afterwards, so they walked out of shul, nispazru ha'ovim, the clouds parted, they scattered, v'zorcho chama, and the sun shone. And they realized that they had davened in error, it was the wrong time. Ein sarach lach, so it was the right time for Mariv, but they didn't want to start Shabbos that early. They hadn't meant to daven Mariv at that time. Ein sarch lachsa ul espal arvis. So they don't have to daven again. Im kishe espalu hoy miplaka mincha lemal. As long as it was the correct time for Maariv, the Maariv is okay. If it was a yochid, he does have to daven again. Olina nasias melacha. However, with regards to Shabbos starting, that isu melacha. So can they cook? Can they do work? Can they drive home? Ben tzibur ben yochid mutarim. They are allowed to do work afterwards. The Kabbalah Shabbos hoisa b'sol. Since the whole Kabbalah Shabbos was done in error, they thought it was earlier than, you know, they wanted to start Shabbos at 8 o'clock. And they thought it was 8 o'clock. Really, it was 7 o'clock. So in such a case, since it was done in error, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that their Kabbalah Shabbos is void, it's batal, and they don't have to keep the Isurim of Shabbos. Although he does say the Yesh, I mean, that some say, Oysam Shed Likuneris, if you've already lit the Shabbos candles, there's one opinion, so then you shouldn't do work anymore once you've lit the Shabbos candles. But if it was just based on davening, then the Maariv is a valid Maariv if it's done in the right time, but you haven't started Shabbos yet since it was done in error. Meshura brings down, by the way, it's based on a discussion on Gemara Brachos, and there are machmirim, and therefore he says the correct thing to do is to be machmir. But the Shulchan Aruch says that again, since it's done in error, the Kabbalah Shabbos is not chal, it's not valid.
Is this the situation?
Yeah. No. So he says this is very strange in a way that it's not Shabbos. But you've davened the Shemoneh Esrei, even though you've davened the Shabbos Shemoneh Esrei. So how does that work? It wasn't Shabbos for you, but your Maariv is still a good Maariv, even though you davened a Shabbos Maariv. So it is unusual.
It's the same thing in Motzah Shabbos as well. If you daven Maariv before that.
Yes, so you can actually daven Motzah Shabbos Tefillah on Shabbos. So it's all the same as Sukkot Brachos, Daf Chof Zayin, on the base, I think, in the Brachos. So we do find this concept of davening early, even though it was the wrong time. And normally you can't daven a Shabbos Maariv and not start a Shabbos. It's impossible to do that. Even though in a Loxterity you could make a Tanai, a Maariv you can't do that. But in this is the only case. The Shmura says here, delay machachin and tzibura. It's to do a tirchad and tzibura, that you don't require the whole tzibur to get together to daven Maariv again. Even though it emerges, it's quite an unusual case of having davened a Shabbos Maariv when you haven't even started Shabbos. Yeah.
Can't you then take stuff out of the freezer, heat it up, and then
No. So, if you've lit candles, so that's one thing. So lighting candles, that's the second opinion. According to the first opinion, I'm not sure. I wouldn't like to say. I don't know. The truth is, normally you see these sort of questions discussed, and but the fact that no one really discusses it, I looked at Aruch Shabbos, Shmir Shabbos, they don't really apply it in any practical way. I'll mention another application where you would possibly have expected it to apply, but it doesn't. So it doesn't extend very much. Yeah. With Adlok Seiris, a man's not Makav. Yeah, but he's asked with a woman who's Makav Shabbos, with lighting Neiris. Okay, so that's where the whole thing was in error. Now, let's extend this a little further. We'll see a very interesting idea of another connection to Hataras Nedarim. Now, at the end of Reish Samach Gimel, so it just needs a little bit of introduction. The end of Reish Samach Gimel, so Halacha that I've mentioned here before. So we know there's a concept of Amir al-Akum, of not asking a non-Jew to do work for you on Shabbos, Amir al-Akum. Now, the Shulchan Aruch says, at the end of Reish Samach Gimel, Yeshomim, some say, Shemisha Kibbel of Shabbos Kodem Chashecha, a Yid who started Shabbos early, Mutzah Loman Yisrael, he can tell another Yisrael, Chaveiro, Lassus Lo Melacha. So you have one person who's Mekabel Shabbos, another person who wasn't Mekabel Shabbos. So the Yisrael who's been Mekabel Shabbos, even though he started Shabbos, he can ask the other Yid to do work for him on Shabbos. There's no problem of Amir al Yisrael. In other words, Amir al Akum on Shabbos, but there's no problem of asking another Yisrael to do work for you on Shabbos if he has not started Shabbos. So I just wanted to look into the background for this, and then we'll apply this to our discussion. So where does this come from? So the Gemara in Shabbos Kufnun Aleph, I think, discusses a case of two people, one of them who has limits of a tchum in one area, that's the limits of 2,000 amos that you're allowed to walk on Shabbos. Let's call him Reuven. Shimon has limits of a tchum in another area on Shabbos. So you have two people with two different areas that they're allowed to walk in on Shabbos. Reuven has his tree, let's say, in Shimon's area, and Shimon has a tree in Reuven's area. So Reuven is allowed to ask Shimon, so he can say to him, please look after my tree in your area that you can go to that I can't go to, and I will look after your tree in my area that you cannot go to, but I can go to. Okay, so you've got Reuven and Shimon, two different areas that they can't go to. Reuven says, we'll make a deal on Shabbos, I'll look after your tree in my area that I can go to, even though you can't go there, and you look after my tree in your area that you can go to, and I cannot go to. So says the Rashba, we learn from here, that you're allowed to tell another Yisrael to do work for you on Shabbos, because each one of them is saying to the other one, you do something that I cannot do. I can't walk there, you can, so you do something for me over there. You can walk here, and you can't walk here, I can, and I'll do something for you. So we learn from there that you can ask another Yisrael to do work for you on Shabbos, even though you cannot do it. If he can, you can ask him to do it. Okay? The Ran asks on the Rashba, he says, I don't understand. It's very different. Because Tchumin is different from every other halacha. Why? Because the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, on the Amud before, normally, you cannot say, I'm going to, on Shabbos, you can't say, tomorrow, I will cook a meal. So if you're on Shabbos, you cannot say, tomorrow, I'm going to do something which is forbidden to do on Shabbos. So you can't say, tomorrow, I'm going to light a fire. Tomorrow, I'm going to plow my field. You can't speak out doing something the next day on Shabbos if you can't do it on Shabbos. However, with regards to Tchum, walking beyond 2,000 amos, you are allowed to. So on Shabbos, you can say, I'm going to London tomorrow. Why is that? Because in theory, if somebody, if they would build houses all the way from Manchester to London on Shabbos, you would then be allowed to walk from Manchester to London. Because if there's a built-up area all the way, it's called Burgenland, the Gemara says, you can walk beyond the Tchum. So since in theory, if somebody would come along and build these houses, you'd be able to walk that distance. Therefore, you're allowed to speak about it on Shabbos. So the Ran asks a question on the Rashba. So he says, one second, you can't learn from Tchumin to all other areas of Hilchos Shabbos. Tchumin is very different. The Gemara says you're allowed to ask one person to do something in his Tchum, and I'll do something for you in your Tchum, because with Tchumin there's this idea that if there were houses built connecting the two areas, you'd be able to walk from one to the other. So since there's that Kula, there's that leniency, that possibility, you're allowed to instruct other people to do work for you on Shabbos in that specific area. But who says that you can extend that to other areas of Hilchos Shabbos? Okay, so this is the question of the Ran. However, the Rashba disagrees. The Rashba applies this to every area. And this is how the Shulchan Aruch paskens. The Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to ask one Yisrael is allowed to ask another Yisrael to do work for him on Shabbos. Says the Beis Yosef, so how do we understand that? Please forgive me, it gets a little complicated. Ask me to repeat it. It's a few stages here. Please ask me to go over it if I haven't explained it clearly enough. So the Shulchan Aruch says, how do we understand the Rashba? You know, the Ran asks a good question. It's different to Tchumin. Says the Beis Yosef, no, it's exactly the same. In the same way that if somebody would come along and build houses, you'd be able to walk from one Tchum to the other. Well, it's the same with Kabbalah Shabbos. Because who asked that person to start Shabbos early? It's exactly the same. If he wouldn't have started Shabbos early, if he would have davened later, he would be allowed to do everything that he's asking the other person to do. So in that way, it is similar to Tchumin. Because somebody who's Mekabel Shabbos early, if he would want to, he wouldn't have to start Shabbos early, and if he wouldn't start Shabbos early, he would be able to do everything he's asking the other person. So says the Shulchan Aruch, it is similar to the case of Tchumin, because if he wouldn't have started Shabbos early, he would be able to tell the other person to do everything that he's asking him to do himself. Now, Right, so that's a good point. Now, one second. Is it exactly the same? Because these burglars, these houses, if a, the Bach says if a guy would come along, he'd actually build them on the Shabbos. But one second, with Kabbalah Shabbos, where he's already started Shabbos, he can't backtrack now, can he? Once he's started Shabbos, can he backtrack from the Shabbos that he's started? Is it really similar? So they bring the Levush, and Levush says, yes, it is similar. Why is it similar? Because in the same way you can do Hataras Nadarim for a Neder that you make, so too you can do a Hataras Nadarim for starting Shabbos early. So the Levush seems to be the first person to say this idea. If you start Shabbos, so you light your Shabbos candles, you say, okay, I'm starting Shabbos now, and then you regret it. So the Levush says you can go to three people, make a beis din. You say, I regret starting Shabbos. They can say, mutalach, mutalach, mutalach. And in that way, that you can retract your Kabbalah's Shabbos. So it's an exact comparison, it says, to Tchumen. In the same way with Tchumen, if somebody would build these houses on Shabbos, you could do the work. With Kabbalah Shabbos, it's exactly the same. Even if you've started Shabbos, you could then backtrack, you could do Hataras Nadarim on your Kabbalah Shabbos, and in that way, you can go back from having started Shabbos. So he says, that's why you could ask somebody else to do work for you once you started Shabbos, and they haven't, because if you would want to, you could also take away your Kabbalah Shabbos. Pardon? Yeah, so they say if he's daven, then he can't. But if you've just... I think Hadlock is there also. If you've lit, even if you've lit the Shabbos... If you light the Shabbos candles, you have a question with the made a bracha on them, then you'd... it's not such a good idea because you made a bracha. But, you know, let's say certainly somebody said, right, I'm starting Shabbos, and he's allowed to do Hataras Nadarim to withdraw his Kabbalah Shabbos. In fact, the Aruch Shabbos says, let's say somebody starts Shabbos, he comes to Shul, and he says, right, I'm starting Shabbos, and then he makes a mistake, and he goes out and he turns the light off. So he suggests, you know what, it might be an idea to do Hataras Nadarim at this point for your Kabbalah Shabbos, because the Hataras Nadarim, it retracts the Kabbalah Shabbos to Lamafreya. So your whole Kabbalah Shabbos is then removed, and then you've saved yourself from your mistake of having turned the light on after you started Shabbos. It's a suggestion he puts in the notes in Aruch HaShabbos. So this is the idea of the Levush. Now, how do we paskin? Do we say that you can do Hataras Nadarim for starting Shabbos? So the Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa Chelik Beis Perek Memvav, this is the old edition of Shmir Shabbos, Perek Memvav Sivkot and Yud Aleph. So he brings down the Levush, but he also says that there are plenty of poskim who argue with the Levush. The Aruch HaShulchan argues, Rabbi Kivega brings the Eliyahu Rabba who argues with him. So there are poskim who disagree with the Levush, and he doesn't really give a psak either way. In Aruch HaShabbos, in Perek in Chelek Gimel, Perek Chavzayin Sivchof, so he says like this. He says, really, we don't rely on this idea of doing Hataras Nadarim for starting Shabbos. But he says there's one thing. He brings down from Rav Eliashiv, apparently, the Rav Eliashiv Paskund, that there's one area where we would rely on this. And that's the following. That normally, if you've started Shabbos, you cannot daven mincha anymore. So if somebody, if a woman lights the Shabbos candles, so really she shouldn't daven mincha after she has lit the Shabbos candle. So it's a bit of machlokes, the differences of opinion, but the Shulchan Aruch says that somebody who comes to shul, Reish Samach Gimel Tesvav, somebody who comes to shul on Erev Shabbos, and he answers Baruch Hu, in honor of a Kibbutz Shabbos, if he hears Baruch Hu, he says Baruch Hu, if even though he hasn't daven mincha, he's lost his opportunity to daven mincha. He has to daven Maariv twice, because once he said Baruch Hu, he started Shabbos, he can no longer daven mincha because he started his Shabbos. So apparently Rav Eliashiv said that with regards to this specific halacha of starting Shabbos and no longer being able to daven mincha, for this you would be able to do Hataras Nadarim on your Kabbalah Shabbos. So let's say you said, right, I'm starting Shabbos. You then realize, oops, I haven't daven mincha. So he says, for that specific case, you would be able to... do a Hataras Nadarim, you could get... I've never seen it done, it would probably be regarded as quite an unusual thing to do, but you could get three people, sit down, get in and say, Mutlach, Mutlach, Mutlach for your Kabbalah Shabbos, and you'd then be able to daven mincha for this specific thing. Again, it's very, it would be quite an unusual thing to do, but this is what the Aruch HaShabbos brings down. So it's a good question. Can these, well, if these three people have been Makabel Shabbos? So if you look in, there's a Siman in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Shin Mem Aleph, speaks about Hataras Nadarim on Shabbos. Can you do Hataras Nadarim on Shabbos? So a husband for his wife can always do Hataras Nadarim, Hafaras Habal can always be done on Shabbos, because otherwise he'll lose the opportunity, because he only has one day to do it. And with regards to Hataras Nadarim, so we say that if it's Metzorah Shabbos, you are able to do it. And in fact, Shlomo Zalman says, I think he says with regards to this, that this would be called, yeah, this would be called the Tzorah Shabbos. It's not called doing it for a week, for the weekday. He says, Matim Nadarim B'Shabbos in Tzorah Shabbos. That would be called Tzorah Shabbos. I think the main thing is that it's not done for a weekday thing. And this, for mitzvah, I think you... pretty sure Shlomo Zalman said on this that you would be able to. It's called Tzorah Shabbos. So 1 second. The tznai, you could do a tznai for lighting candles. You can't do a tznai for baruch. No, don't think so. No, you'd have two Shabbos Shmoneh Esrei for your tashlumin. Sorry. You have to have Shabbos twice. It's unusual, but you. Oh, you do Hataras Nadarim, and then you daven a weekday Shmoneh Esrei. Pardon? How's that Tzorah Shabbos? I'm not sure. Shlomo Zalman, I don't have Tzorah Shabbos on me. He says in the notes, he makes a comment about that being called. He says, Mestaba, that wouldn't be called not the Tzorah Shabbos, I think. Please check his Tzorah Shabbos. I think he says that's not called, that's something that you can do even though you've been Makabel Shabbos, I think. Yeah, so you asked me before about how far the idea of a mistake extends. Do we apply this in other areas, if you Makabel Shabbos in error? So Rabbi Yisrael Yaakov Fischer, actually, in his notes on the Mishnah Berurah, so he actually asked on this halacha here, somebody who didn't realize that they haven't daven mincha, so he says if you Makabel Shabbos, you shouldn't daven mincha. So he wants to say that maybe that's only if you knew that you hadn't daven mincha. But what if you had forgotten that you haven't daven mincha? You start Shabbos, and then you think, oh, I hadn't daven mincha. So he suggests, well, maybe that would be called a toast, like we said before. If you're Makabel Shabbos in error, like you didn't know the time of day, you didn't know you didn't know a shofar was coming, maybe mincha's the same thing. That if you hadn't realized that you hadn't daven mincha, maybe that's called bringing Shabbos in error. He says tzorich iyun, so maybe that would be, maybe you wouldn't need to do Hataras Nadarim. Maybe that would just be called, okay, you started in error, then you could daven mincha. I haven't seen that brought down, and he finishes tzorich iyun about whether you could apply that. In truth. So Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach speaks about this idea of doing Hataras Nadarim for the purpose of davening mincha. So we said, apparently Rav Yashiv says, for this idea of davening mincha, you can do Hataras Nadarim. Rav Shlomo Zalman adds to this, and he says, well, there's another reason why you should be able to withdraw your Kabbalah Shabbos to daven mincha. He says, because you've got something called a Svek Sveka. That means you've got two reasons to allow you to do it. Because we said the whole idea of not davening mincha after you've started Shabbos is a machloikas ha'paiskim. There are those who say you shouldn't, which is how we paskin, but there is an opinion that you can daven mincha after starting Shabbos. Not only that, there is the opinion of the Levush that you can do Hataras Nadarim, you can retract your Kabbalah Shabbos if you do Hataras Nadarim. So he says you've got a svek sveka, you've got two reasons why you should be able to do it. Firstly, maybe you could daven mincha even if you've been Makabel Shabbos. And even if you can't, maybe you could do Hataras Nadarim for after you've started Shabbos. He therefore says there's a double reason, a svek sveka, a double reason to allow you to do it. And therefore he says it makes sense, you should be able to do this Hataras Nadarim to be able to daven mincha afterwards. No, we say suffik, and you shouldn't daven, you wouldn't be able to say another bracha again. Here we're saying you're going to daven again, you need to have a double reason. Like with Sfiras HaOmer, you don't make another bracha unless there's a svek sveka, a double reason why you should be able to say the bracha again, or say the tefillah again. He adds to this, it may get a little complicated, I apologize, he says, maybe this isn't a svek sveka, and it's for the following reason. He says that it could be the the two ideas here really are dependent on the same thing. He said, what do we say the two doubts are here? Can you daven mincha after starting Shabbos? Can you do Hataras Nedarim for Shabbos? He says, really, it could be exactly the same question. He says, if you say Kabbalah Shabbos, when you start Shabbos early, that is bringing in the new day. It's starting Shabbos in the fullest sense. Then you can't do Hataras Nedarim on such a thing, and you can't daven mincha after you started Shabbos. And if you say that starting Shabbos early is not bringing Shabbos in its fullest sense, it's just this idea of starting with a neder, some type of half Shabbos that you're starting early, then you could do Hataras Nedarim to it, and you can daven mincha after you've started Shabbos. So he suggests, well, really, that's not a classic spek sveka. A spek sveka has to be two independent reasons why you can do the thing. Here, it could be dependent on the same question. It's not two independent doubts, two independent reasons why you could do Hataras Nedarim to daven mincha. It could be exactly the same question, and it's dependent on how you understand bringing Shabbos in early. Okay, I'll move on to a different point here. So we discussed this idea of Hataras Nedarim for Shabbos. Very quickly, that there are different applications of this. Can children bring Shabbos in early? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, if you say that bringing Shabbos early is a neder, a type of vow, bringing Shabbos early in, so children cannot make vows, they cannot make Nedarim. So maybe a child can't bring Shabbos in early if you say it's like a neder. Although when they approach 13, there's something called mufle samachlish. When they approach 13, they would be able to. The Minchas Chinuch suggests, he asks, how can women start Shabbos early if it's a mitzvah sasei shazman grama, if it's time-bound, how can women start Shabbos early? So Rav Shlomo Zalman says, a suggestion, if it's a neder, if it's to do with making a promise, then women can also make a nedarim, they can start Shabbos early. So again, this idea has many different aspects of making, whether starting Shabbos early is linked to this idea of making a neder. Yeah, if the husband doesn't allow, if the husband wants to annul the Kabbalah Shabbos of his wife, he may do so. Shlomo Zalman says he's not sure about it, but it seems to be he would be able to. Sorry? Beino lebeino inoy nefesh, yeah. So, yeah, the truth is that, yeah, there are certain only certain nedarim a husband can be mefit, beino lebeino, something which is relevant to him, or inoy nefesh. Shlomo Zalman says, I think he says it's mistav, it's logical to him that a baal can be mefit the nedarim of his wife with regards to this thing of starting Shabbos early. The Steinfeld in his Sefer on the Torah, Birkas Peretz, so he speaks about the idea of an Adorim in this week's Sedra. He speaks about the idea of making a neder for a mitzvah. If I have time, I might come back to what he says on this week's Sedra. I wanted to refer to what he says about an Adorim on another Sedra in Parshas Vayechi. So he speaks about the Shavua that Yosef makes to Paro. Just before I come to this idea, let me just go to introduce it with the Gemara in Kesubos. The Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Ayin Zayin, speaks about Rabbi Shua ben Levi. So the Gemara in Kesubos, Daf Ayin Zayin on the base, speaks about Rabbi Shua ben Levi, who we're told Rabbi Shua ben Levi was a very big tzaddik. He would sit and learn Torah with people with illnesses. And the Gemara says, Kihava Shachiv, when he was about to die, Omrele Lamalach HaMaves, they told the Malach HaMaves, when you go to Rishu Ben Levi, Zil Avad Le'Yerusa, you have to do him a favor, you have to do whatever he wants. So the Rishu Ben Levi says, Havli Sakinoch, give me your knife. He asked the Malach HaMaves to hand over his knife. So the Malach HaMaves hands over his knife. He asks to be shown his place in Gan Eden, so he shows him his place in Gan Eden. Then Rishu Ben Levi says, jumps into Gan Eden, and he makes a shavua, makes a promise, shavua d'layasina, he makes a shavua, an oath that he won't leave Gan Eden. So the Malach HaMaves wants him out of Gan Eden, and Rishu ben Levi makes a shavua, he's staying in Gan Eden. So Omar Kutcha Bricha, Kosh Baruch Hu said, well, have a look, Yitshal Ashvuasa Nihadar. If he's ever made a shayla on a shavua, if he's ever gone back on a shavua by doing Hataras Nedarim, then he has to leave Gan Eden. Eli, if he's never gone back on his word, he's never admitted Hataras Nedarim, Lo Nahada, he's allowed to stay in Gan Eden. The Gemara says that he stayed in Gan Eden, he'd never even gone back on a Shavua. So I never understood that Gemara. What's wrong with doing Hataras Nadarim? So he'd never gone back in his Shavua. We're not saying he'd ever broken a Shavua. We're saying if he'd never done Hataras Nadarim, then he was able to stay in Gan Eden. But what's wrong with doing Hataras Nadarim? It's a valid way of retracting a Shavua. So the Stein says in Parshas Vayechi, he says like this, that Yosef has a discussion with Parah. Yosef says, he asked Parah permission to go to Eretz Yisrael to bury his father. And he says, I've made a promise that I buried my father. Parah says to him, Ali kvaris avicha ka'asher hishbiecho, go up and bury your father in Eretz Yisrael, ka'asher hishbiecho, just like he made you promise. So Rashi brings down the Gemara that there was a discussion between Parah and Yosef. That Yosef says, I made a promise to bury my father. Parah says to him, doesn't matter, go and do Hataras Nadarim and get rid of the promise. Yosef says, no, if I do that, then I might have to do Hataras Nadarim on a promise I made to you. That I promised I wouldn't reveal that you don't know Lashon HaKodesh. And if I ask on one Shavua, then I might ask on another Shavua. So Parah listened to him and he says, you know what, go Kasher Shbiach, go just like you promised. So the Stein asks, one second, so what Yosef's blackmailing Parah, it doesn't sound something like Yosef would do. If you make me go back on one promise, then I'll go back on another promise that I made to you. Is Yosef the type to blackmail Parah? So says the Stein in Parashas Vayechi, he says no. He says that when you go back on a Shavua, so technically speaking, you haven't done anything wrong. But in a subtle way, your word doesn't have the same power, it doesn't have the same force, it doesn't compel you as much anymore. Somebody who has always done exactly what he said he will do, so his word is precious to him. So if you go back on a Shavua, so technically speaking, you've done nothing wrong. But that person's word is not as precious to him anymore. So Yosef's saying to him, if you make me go back on the promise I made to my father, so he wasn't threatening him, but he's saying, now my word doesn't carry the same weight anymore. If I've had to go back on my word once, I may go back on my word again to the promise I made to you. So if we refer back to the Gemara in Ksubas, where Rabbi Shua ben Levi, so it's the same idea that Rabbi Shua ben Levi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Rabbi Shua ben Levi made a Shavua, I'm staying in Gan Eden. So he says, if he's ever gone back on that Shavua, then he can't stay. So what's wrong with going back on a Shavua? So it's the same idea. But technically speaking, when you do Hataras Nadarim, there's nothing wrong. But in a subtle way, that person is not honouring what he said. According to Halacha, he's done nothing wrong. But still, it doesn't quite carry the same weight. And Rabbi Shua ben Levi had never even done Hataras Nadarim. So his word was very powerful. And therefore, he was able to stay in Gan Eden when he made that Shavua. The Gemara at the end of Makos says that Dover MS Bilvavai, that is an ideal that somebody should speak truthfully in their heart. I mean, think truthful thoughts. What's that? So the Gemara says, Zer Rav Safra. This refers to Rav Safra. So says Rashi, what was Rav Safra? Rav Safra was saying Shema. Somebody came over to him and said, I'll give you £100 for this object. And Rav Safra was saying Shema, so he didn't answer. So the person didn't realize. He said, right, I'll offer you £150, £200. And Rav Safra finished Shema, and he said, you know what? When you first said to me, you made the first offer, so in my heart I said I would take that amount. And he said, therefore, he would only take the first amount that was offered. That's somebody who's Dover MS Bilvavai. Says the Marashah, so what does that mean? Because normally when you make a promise, it has to be that you articulate the promise. However, with regards to Hekdash, if you're being makdish a karbon, so hekdash works even if you think about it in your heart. And for the great tzaddikim like Rav Safra, so everything that they did was hekdash. Everything was on the level of a karbon of hekdash. And therefore, even in business, when it went into business, they honoured things that they thought about in the same way that when you make something hekdash, you have to honour your ideas which you think. So it's the great tzaddikim, this was their ideal, even things that they thought they honoured. The Aruch HaTzaddikim says, somebody who always speaks the truth, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals things to him in the future because he's an Ish MS, he finds out things that will happen in the truth. So we see if we work on this idea of being particular with MS in our speech and our thoughts, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us extra Kedusha, extra Siyata Lishmaya.
I told them. Okay.